Let us open our Bibles congregation to our first scripture reading passage to Matthew chapter 26. And we read the first 13 verses. Matthew 26, verse 1 to 13. And we focus on verse 6 to verse 13. God's holy word. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to the disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done also will be told in memory of her." And then we turn secondly to a similar passage of scripture from John chapter 12. John gives more personal detail of the same account that Matthew gives to us. So we read from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and that is our text. John chapter 12, reading at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took up a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to it, to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Thus far we read from God's holy word. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the final week of our Lord's life on earth was come, and the great work of his passion was about to begin. The cross was looming straight ahead of him. Jesus knew what he was about to be doing. Indeed, it was a triumph of God's grace and providence that the Lord had brought Jesus thus far in his ministry. He had brought him to this point for which he had come. The Jews had tried to kill him, to destroy him already a good number of times, but Jesus' hour had not yet come, but now it was almost there. The hour of his passion was about to begin. Jesus Christ, the true Son of David, the King of Israel, had come to fulfill his mission. His suffering unto death for the salvation of the world was about to begin. Now, the evening before the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, he was blessed to be able to have an evening of fine hospitality with some of his closest friends, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and his disciples. They met in a village called Bethany, 2 to 3 kilometers south of Jerusalem. The place was called the House of Simon the Leper. Simon's presence wasn't accounted for here, but We read in verse 2 that Martha then took charge and she prepared the meal and was ready to serve this delicious meal with Jesus and with her sister and with her brother and with the 12 disciples. Hereby, Martha also showed something of her great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the focus of the sermon, of course, is upon the love that Mary showed to the Lord, but we ought not to forget the great love that Martha also had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, our theme this morning, congregation, it is Mary who lavishes all her love on the Lord Jesus. And we see that first by the fact that she anoints Jesus with very costly ointment. We read at verse 1 of John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Matthew calls this ointment by describing it as something coming out of an alabaster flask. It was very expensive. John describes it as being made of pure nard. The perfume we know would have been imported from India a long distance away, and so that made it, of course, very expensive. Judas readily admits that this perfume could have easily been sold for 300 denarii, namely a whole year's wages of a laboring man. So expensive this very special perfume was. We would ask the question right away, however, what would have moved Mary to do such an extravagant thing, to spend so much money on this ointment to anoint the head and the feet of Jesus? Some have suggested that Mary was a very wealthy woman, perhaps she was, but more biblical scholars are agreed that Mary would have set aside all her life savings that she had thus far in order to purchase this costly ointment. But why, we might ask? Well, for what other reason but the fact that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much, and that this was another expression of her deep abiding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was, after all, her Lord. Mary, of course, was a very close friend to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus had in her a close friend, but it was more than that. He was her Lord, and she looked to him as her Savior. The Bible records Mary at times sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ simply to listen to his teaching. Jesus always had something to say, to teach, to instruct her in, to explain to her the essence of the gospel and who he really was, the Son of God, the Son of Man, to be the Savior of the world. Mary had been a good listener for all these years that Jesus was involved in his ministry. To him she owed her spiritual life. To him she owed the life of her brother Lazarus, whom Jesus had just finished raising from the dead a few days before. You see, Jesus was her king. Jesus was the hope of Israel. Jesus was the Holy One of God, the Son of David. And thus she broke that alabaster flask containing that precious ointment, and she poured it on Jesus' head, Matthew tells us. But John also tells us that she anointed the feet of Jesus as well. So from head to his feet, Jesus was anointed with this very expensive, this very costly ointment, this perfume. And then she takes her hair to wipe off the excess of the ointment that was lingering on his feet. She used her hair as a towel to wipe all the extra ointment that was on his feet. We would think this was a most unusual and extravagant thing to do. To imagine ladies using your hair to wipe off the extra oil on the feet of the one that you love so much. How could she have done so unless she had a heart overflowing with holy love for the Lord Jesus Christ and a gratitude to him as her Lord? She did not consider this too costly a business of doing, nor the wiping of the oil on his feet with her hair as too unbecoming a thing to do for that a woman would do. She did not consider this too costly, since she knew what Jesus was going to do for her was beyond price as well. Would you consider the same thing regarding the work of Jesus Christ? Did not what Jesus Christ did for you, is that not also something that is beyond price? Could you put a price tag on your salvation and say, well, it's worth so much, but not more? Is not what Jesus Christ has done for us something that is simply beyond all measurement, all price? Isn't it worth eternity? Eternity. Now, congregation, our Lord did not record this event in the gospel simply to teach us that this was a kind of an ordinary thing, as if to say, well, Mary did this, well, you should be able to do this too, in a manner of speaking, as an ordinary act of service to follow, do as Mary did. And I would suggest to you, no, not at all. For this was a most unusual and extraordinary act of devotion, gratefully accepted by Jesus himself, because it was done for a unique purpose, for a one-time purpose, something that did not bear to be repeated. You see, Jesus' death was also a one-time event. It did not bear repeating again and again and again, like the Old Testament high priests so often sacrificed their bulls and their goats. No, so also this anointing, therefore, with this very costly oil, was also a one-time event. Why? Well, Jesus tells us that she has kept this ointment for the day of my burial. As Jesus only died once, so also this anointing only needed to be done once. And it was recorded for this reason, not to be repeated, but that this gospel, wherever it is preached in all the world, what this woman did would be told as a memorial to her. Matthew tells us in verse 13 of chapter 26. You see, it's what Mary did. It is what she did, that costly act of devotion to Jesus to prepare him for his death and for his burial. And yet, since Jesus also laid down his life for you and was also buried for you, is your love for Jesus Christ also very great? Is it something you would say, this is a costly devotion that I pay to him? What might you sacrifice for Jesus Christ in the way of service, in the way of love and gratitude to him? Mary gave up all that she had, all that God, of course, graciously enabled her to do for her Lord. And the point we need to remember here, congregation, is that it was God's will that this take place. This is to teach us something. It is God's will that someone had to be chosen to anoint his son's body for burial, and it was God's choice of choosing Mary to do it. And she did it so freely, she did it so lovingly with all her heart. Now, right beside her, of course, is Martha, and we perhaps can't forget about her, but it seems that Martha had no means to do what Mary had just done. And yet Martha is not faulted in the least for not doing what Mary did. And yet, she and all of us are called to express our sincere love for Jesus Christ too, and our gratitude to him. Because he is the Savior. Because then he was coming to lay down his life. And now, of course, he has already done so for us. Our hearts, too, need to be filled with sincere expressions of love and devotion as well. Now, in all of this congregation, Martha was acting like a very humble servant. It was not uncommon for slaves in ancient times then, if asked upon to wash the feet of their masters, that they would do that. They would wash the feet of their masters. Well, in a similar kind of way, Mary takes her hair and wipes up the oil on the feet of her master, the kind of thing that a slave would do. And yet, ironically, in just a few days' time, what will Jesus do? He will act as a servant as well, and he will take a towel and wash and dry the feet of the 12 disciples. But here, Mary, as Jesus' humble servant, lavishing upon him all her devotion and love, wipes the ointment off his feet with her hair. Here's a servant's love, congregation, a servant's love for Christ. I would suggest to you that such love is not fanatical. Such love is not unbecoming of this particular woman to do for the Lord. Though it is extravagant, I would suggest it is extravagant. But then think of it, Jesus is worth everything, isn't he? Isn't Jesus worth the giving of her whole life to him? Didn't Jesus speak well when he said to that rich young ruler, sell all you have and come and follow me? Isn't that the same idea? Are we not to be prepared to give up everything for the Lord Jesus Christ? Unless we don't give up everything and then lose our souls in the process. That's not where we want to go either. I pray that Jesus is worthy of all your love. You see, Jesus could not be praised too much. Jesus could not be loved too much by us, as if to say, well, we shouldn't go overboard here. No, he is worthy of every ounce of love we ever could have in our hearts for a person. Jesus, that true man and true God. And so I pray that there be no coldness or a bit of an uncaring feeling in your heart towards Jesus of Nazareth. You know, he's still Jesus of Nazareth, though he is exalted on high at the right hand of God the Father in majesty. He's still that same man who walked in Palestine. He's still the same man who had that perfume poured out on his feet. He's still there to be loved by us as much as we possibly could. I pray we're not afraid to come real close to Jesus. I pray that he's your go-to person. Quickly, we might go to maybe a friend, maybe a counselor, maybe a pastor, maybe an elder. Those things are all good, but I pray you readily be going to Jesus Christ as if he is the best friend you ever had. The one you want to be as close as possible to as you possibly can. Because of what he did for you. And because of the great love he gave up, he expressed to you when he went to the cross for your sake. On the other hand here, congregation, look at Judas. Look at even the 12 disciples. We read in Matthew 26, verse 8, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. That was the thinking of the disciples at the moment. This was kind of crazy to do. The money could have been sent to the poor, and Judas was the ringleader, it seems, in this whole wrong response of the disciples. He said this ointment could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And then John says he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Judas cared more for money than he did for the Lord Jesus Christ. After a fashion, he might have said, oh yeah, I love Jesus, I follow him, I've been serving him for 3 years, but really he didn't. He cared more for that money bag and the money he could help himself to with once in a while than he really cared for Jesus. He considered it a waste of good money. He had no love for his master. He thought such extravagance was ridiculous. And Jesus responds, he says to her, leave her alone. Matthew says, Jesus saying, please don't trouble this woman. Leave her alone so that she may keep, notice that word, so that she may keep it, this ointment for the day of my burial. You see, it was the objective of Mary to keep this perfume that she had purchased perhaps maybe a good while ago already, and she was keeping it for such a time just as this, when she would be given the opportunity to anoint his body in preparation for his burial. She knew Jesus was going to die because she knew she had to do this in preparation for his burial. Mary was seeing things correctly that the disciples were not. She has kept this for such a time like this, for my burial, Jesus tells us here. And that brings us to our second point, how Jesus now interprets this act of love and devotion that Mary lavishes upon her. Jesus does the interpreting that needs to be done. In Matthew 26, we read there in verse 12, Jesus saying, in pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. To prepare me for burial. And that she has done it as a very beautiful thing. Notice verse 10, Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a very beautiful thing for me. In the original, we basically have the idea of she has done a good work for me. This was no showy exhibition of Mary's wealth or money. This was no exhibition of Mary's personal sinful pride. Ah, look what I'm doing for the Lord. It was a humble expression of devotion and intimate love for Jesus. It was done in faith, wasn't it? It was done to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus calls it a good work. Something pleasing to him, a beautiful thing done unto him. Jesus then adds, for you have always the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Mary knew Jesus would soon be put to death by the Jews. The disciples were unwilling to clue into that and to understand it, but Mary had a perceptive listening and a knowing heart. We know that the Lord Jesus already three times spoken very specifically to his disciples about the Jews who were going to destroy him, to hand him over to the Gentiles, to be crucified, to be put to death, to be raised on the third day, but they didn't get it. But Mary saw, she heard, and she understood. And she knew Jesus had just a few days left. She knew she had a short time to fulfill her heartfelt sense of calling to anoint his body for burial. Now the Holy Spirit must certainly have impressed this upon her heart, yet it was certainly not without a heart full of love. And so Jesus interprets it as a beautiful thing, preparing for his burial. Jesus tells his disciples explicitly he's about to die and he's about to be buried to be the sin-atoning sacrifice for their sins and for the world. And wasn't that the purpose of Jesus from the very outset? Didn't John the Baptist say at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? And now she had kept this precious ointment for that time. It was coming soon. Interestingly, it was somewhat of a practice in the ancient Near East that loved ones would anoint the body of a loved one who had died as an expression, as a symbolic act of the hope of the resurrection of the body which God's people had. And here's the thing, that as the awful smell of death was briefly dispelled by the fragrant oil, so death itself would give away to the fragrance of newness of life that was the hope of God's people. For was not Jesus Christ himself to be that sweet fragrance, so satisfying to God in heaven? Wasn't his death to be a fragrance of life to all who put their trust in him? Yes, of course. We think how God one time was pleased with the fragrance of the sin offerings of bulls and goats offered on the altar to God for his people. And now how much more Christ's death would be a pleasing aroma of life unto life for us. That's the thing the apostle said to the Corinthians in chapter 2, calling the gospel aroma of life unto life. And of Christians themselves being a fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved. And yet for us as Christians to have that fragrance of Christ in us, it demands first that Jesus Christ be put to death, be buried for our sins. And that would, of course, make Christ's death a wonderful fragrance, pleasing to God. And this is how Jesus now interprets Mary's costly anointing as a good work, as something that indeed is not only simply a fragrance of the perfume, but is symbolic of the fragrance of life that will come out of death when Jesus Christ would be put to death and then raised for our salvation. It's interesting that in John chapter 12, verse 3, John tells us the fragrance of the oil, it filled the whole house. It permeated every room. It was throughout the whole house, a fragrance, a smell, a sweet perfume, so pleasing unto Jesus, of course, so pleasing unto God as well, because it was to communicate something of the fragrance of life that would issue forth from his sacrificial death on the cross for our sake. And it was to communicate something of a kind of a consecration of Jesus' body unto death in preparation for it and the burial it would undergo. Congregation, when we see that this had to happen to Jesus Christ in preparation for his death, that something so sweet and wonderful had to be done to him, that ought to make us think how sweet the name of Jesus is, how sweet and precious is the blood of Christ, and how sweet and precious is that life we have in God alone through Christ. There is no other. There is no other way. Jesus was necessarily lavished with his costly oil in love, in honor, in reverence that he is so worthy of. And it's interesting, Jesus makes that point himself, about himself, when he says, "The poor You have with you always, but you do not always have me. As if to say, my presence and my life to you now, to you, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and you disciples, my life to you now is so precious, it's so special. You only have me yet for a short time. You have only a short time to express your love and faith and trust in me. You need me as the greatest thing you could ever need in your heart. You do not always have me, he said. And his point is, I am more worthy of being in your presence. I am more worthy of having than anybody else. He says, the poor you have with you always. The church always has time to give up their bounty to the poor, but you will not always have me, he says. Jesus does not want to discount at all the fact that we need to show mercy to the poor, but something even more important, that all of us have a very special, holy, faithful love to Jesus Christ, first and foremost, at all times. You know, we can love all kinds of good things, and that's all fine. But if we do not love Christ, all those other good things we love come to absolutely nothing. Without Christ, you have only what your sins deserve. Without Christ, you have only what your sins have merited. And that is eternal hell, isn't it? Eternal condemnation. And so now is the day to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, congregation. As Jesus said, you only have me now, yet for a short time. Now yet show me your love, your faith, your trust, your obedience. And you know what? Tomorrow we do the same thing again. Tomorrow is yet another day to show our love before the Lord Jesus Christ. The day after we might die and have no more opportunity in this life to do so. But while it is yet today, while you still have the time, as Mary had only but a short time left to anoint Jesus Christ, so she had to do it then. Now is the day to rejoice in Christ and to praise him. Now is the day to stop running away from him if you have been running away from Christ. Now is the day to stop being negligent in your faith. Now is the day to pick up your Bible if you haven't been picking it up for a long time. Now is the day to commit yourself again in love and holy devotion, while it is yet today. Repent of your sins and praise him with your love. Now is the day to begin a new day of obedience to Christ as your Lord, in holiness and gratitude, until you see him again. For soon he comes again, and we shall see him as he is. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly God and Father, we thank you for your word of truth to our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the great act of devotion that Mary expressed. We thank you, Father, for the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Here we see him as our great God and Savior, to whom we owe our all, O Lord. For indeed in him we have all things given to us as well. O God in heaven, help us to live before you with true faith and joy, and with great love for you and great love for Jesus of Nazareth, our only God and Savior. O God in heaven, hear our prayers and bless us as we sing our songs of praise and devotion to you. Amen.